Sebastián Salgado has been capturing images of conflicts around the world and revealing things people might rather not see for over 40 years. Since 2004, however, he has been searching out pristine landscapes as part of his Genesis project. And now, another great photographer and filmmaker, Wim Wenders, has found a way to make those photographs speak quite literally through a film he's co-written and directed with Sebastián's son, Juliano Ribeiro Salgado. The Salt of the Earth opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Angelica Cinemas, and I'm delighted it is brought back to our show, Wim Wenders, along with his cinematic collaborator here, Juliano Ribeiro Salgado.
Pleasure Hello. To be with you again, Leonard.
Hey, Leonard.
Wim, can you even describe what it is about Salgado's photographs that appeals to you? There's something magical about them that I don't see in any other photographer.
That's what I thought. I own a few of his works for more than 20 years. I'm familiar with his work since the late 80s. His work is totally unique. He's been all over the world documenting famines and wars and catastrophes. And his pictures are part of our memory. And they're quite unique. And as I was calling him my favorite photographer whenever anybody asked me in an interview, eventually I figured it would be good if I knew this man because his photographs impressed me so much. And so in the summer of 2009, I tried to knock at his door, not with the movie in my mind, but just to find out who is this man behind these incredible photographs.
Juliano, it's my sense that if you put any other photographer in front of the same spot that your father has photographed, I would immediately recognize your father's picture. I don't know why that is. Is it in the printing, or does he have some special lens?
I think he has a special thing, actually. You know, Sebastián's photos are, you know, have this deep black and white. They're always very well composed. But he's got a special thing when he makes his photographs. And I think that's an intuition that he's been having from the beginning. You know what it is? It's that when he goes places and meets people that are really foreign to him, he always manages to create a connection, a bond. And his great talent, actually, is that he can make the photo of the emotion that comes with this bond, of what he's feeling. And that's what you feel when you see the photo.
And he has something else. He invests more than other people. He invests more time. Other photographers come, and the next day they out of there because it's not a great place to be in. Sebastián spends weeks and months and lives with his people and eats their food and sleeps in the same places. And he even comes back the next year. He spends more time, invests more time in all of his subjects than any other photographer, and that gives him a different right and a different look.
Yeah, Sebastián is not after a photo. He's really after meeting people and trying to understand their stories, you know.
Aren't you also a film and documentary filmmaker? You've been working on something about your father before you met Wim?
Actually, when we met Wim, none of us thought we were ever going to do a film about Sebastián. Actually, I didn't think about it. The nature of our relation, you know, father, son, it doesn't really allow for that normally. But then it happened that we did a trip together to Amazonia, in a very isolated place of Amazonia with Indians that live as they used to live 15,000 years ago. Sebastián convinced me to go with him. I followed him up there, and I started filming, you know, when that first shoot opened the door for more.
Hadn't there been other films about him?
There's been a number of films.
What does this film try to do that those films haven't done?
We tried to be pretty correct about him. We try to explain what his work consists of, and we try to explain how his work as one of the most renowned social photographers of the world came to a grinding halt at one point in his life, and he actually gave it up, and as he's a man who carries the consequences of his acts, stopped working as a social photographer, which after witnessing the genocide in Rwanda, which was a very, very dark spot in his life, he abandoned photography and reinvented himself a number of years later. And we tried to find out what that was that reconnected him to a camera, and it was nature.
Well, hadn't he talked about that with you, Juliano?
Yeah, you know, and there's something more about this film that we also try to do that makes a difference with the other films. We didn't try to make a film about the photographer. We tried to make a film about one of the great witnesses of our last century, of the last 40 years. Sebastio has been in places that very few people have, and he has experienced these places in a unique way. And that's that way, what he learned about all the people that he's met, that's what we tried to put in this film and to transmit.
And then later, after he stopped photographing human tragedy, he went to incredible places and introduced us to something else. But I was struck by the fact that all three of you originally had different careers. Wim, didn't you study medicine and philosophy originally and then spend some time in Paris as a painter?
Yes, I tried different things. I really wanted to be a painter, and I got sidetracked because I saw all these American painters, Brakhage, Michael Snow, Andy Warhol, starting to work with cameras, and I figured that's maybe an interesting way to go for a painter. And I got sidetracked in a big way, and I never returned to being a painter.
And then, Giuliano, you studied law at first?
Yeah.
Did having a great photographer for a father somehow entice you into doing what you wound up doing?
Absolutely. When I was 22, my girlfriend felt pregnant. We were so much in love, we decided to keep the baby. And when my son was born, I needed to work. And, you know, my dad, he's always been traveling to amazing places, discovering, you know, new way of lives, learning from it. But also his work was about being the mediator in between very important facts. Some of them would become historical, and the audience. When I mean the audience, I mean the people that read the magazines and the news. And that was utterly political and felt like, you know, such a great way of life. I had to try it out.
And then you made a short film about anti-personnel mines in Angola.
Yeah, and then I went to Afghanistan, and then I kept going.
And Sebastian himself first worked as an economist. How long did he do that?
He had a great career going. He was actually for the World Bank, and he was onto something that could have led to an amazing career. And on his trips, mainly to Africa to follow development projects, he took his wife's camera with him. And eventually had to admit himself that this little innocent act of taking pictures in between gave him so much more satisfaction, and he was more in touch with these people. He gave up an entire career and started from scratch at the age of 30. And who actually does this? Who gives up careers in order to start from scratch in a whole different field?
But he was bearing witness to the things that he had been dealing with as an economist. In this case, visually, In either case, I'm sure he could have a real impact on the problem, but the pictures became world famous.
You see, the thing is, he remained an economist. And on all of his countless journeys, he always prepared himself. He knew about the political, sociological, economic background, and he still knows so much more about each and every photograph. He can give you the whole country's history. He can give you every person's history. His knowledge of mankind is so much, and that makes his witness of mankind as a photographer so much more important. And that's what allowed us to make the film, because we realized he's also an incredible storyteller.
But do you think that weird similarity, the fact that all three of you started off doing something else, produced a kind of a bond?
Possibly. You know, I think it opens a lot of, you know, perspective to actually study something else than film. And having a different background. I think in the case of Sebastio, it's interesting because it's very paradoxical. Sebastio is this guy who is so rational, who knows, as Wim said, so much about the place he's going to go to. But yet, when he does a photo, he's really photographing this emotion that he's feeling at the time. And that's so rich.
My guests are Giuliano Ribeiro Salgado and Wim Wenders, who co-directed and wrote the screenplay, also the cinematography by J.R. Salgado, of a film called The Salt of the Earth, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Angelica Cinemas. So your father asked you to come along with him when he started the Genesis Project. Did he explain why he had quit and why he had decided to pick up the camera for a very different kind of project?
Actually, he didn't, and I'm not sure he realized exactly what had happened to him. You know, the funny thing is that when we look at it, you know, later on, when we're thinking about whether we're going to make a film about Sebastio and Lelia's story, you know, my parents, they have
your
worked
mother,
together.
Your mother, who's a very important part of the story.
Absolutely. We then realized that they had lived this dramatic moment, but while living it, we didn't know this is what was happening.
One of the things that struck me when I was watching the film was that all the photographs got a bit of a gasp from me, but the more recent ones, they look like miracles. Does he just know where to stand with the camera?
He's a master of the art of black and white and of printing, and he spends sometimes days on a picture in the printing process, and he. Over the years, from starting as an economist to today, he has become a great artist and one of the most accomplished photographers in that art of the black and white. And he has a way, you see his pictures, you recognize it from anybody else's because his black and white has the richest palette.
Over the course of your interviews with him, you seem to disappear from him. How did that happen?
That's the job of a documentary filmmaker. You want to put your subject into the center and you want to make his work shine. And I made a film about some old musicians in Havana. I didn't appear in that one because I didn't want to appear. I wanted them to appear. And
you changed their lives.
Pina, oh, well, they became the Beatles. And Pina was the same thing. I didn't want, this didn't have to be about me. This had to be about somebody else's art. And I think that's the beauty of documentary filmmaking. You can make something shine that you really love, but you don't have to put yourself in front of it.
You had to choose certain photographs to discuss. How is seeing a photograph on film different from seeing it in person?
It's an amazing difference. We edited, Juliana and I, with our editor for a year and a half, and we always cut in these pictures because that's what the story was about. And we filmed them, some of them off a book, so we had all these files of photographs. And we thinned them down. Eventually, I don't know how many ended up, how 100 ended up in the picture.
Did he pick the ones that he wanted to talk about?
Not really. He was aware of the ones we were going to put into the film. And when we shot, yes, we almost went through each and every one of them. We went through thousands of photographs. But eventually, when the film was done and when we post-producing it, we asked Sebastião to have his studio give us the high-resolution prints, so we would cut real good quality photographs in the shot. And when Juliana and I saw the film for the first time on a big screen when I was mixing it, I was gasping because I had not even remotely understood the beauty of these pictures until I saw them on a big screen.
Well, because we're seeing them so much bigger than they are in their normal format.
That's true, and there's more to that, actually. It's the fact that with those pictures come the story, you know, of what happened in those places. And that's what's happening, you know, mostly in this film, which is, it's way more than just the photos, actually.
Well, he had stopped taking those kinds of pictures after the genocide in Rwanda. What was it like for him to revisit them? Because they cover so many devastating things, genocides and famines.
You know, for the shooting of this film, Wim invented a process of shooting Sebastio that was actually amazing and that allowed Sebastio to profoundly go back to those moments. Wim, maybe you want to speak about that.
Well, the thing was, we wanted him to immerse, really, and go back in his memory and be entirely in his memory and not see cameras around him and not see me, but really have only his photograph in front of him. So we reversed the teleprompter and we invented a teleprompter that would show his photographs and it would be in a dark room and he would have just that screen in front of him and just his work and he wouldn't even see the camera because that was hidden by the screen. And then he would at the same time talk to the audience because that is a two-way mirror. He's looking through his photographs. Subjectively, he only saw his pictures. He didn't see the camera. And I could, behind the camera, invisibly, slowly go from one picture to another as he was telling the story. And he never had to sort of come out of his memories. He kept, could remain in it, and sometimes it was too much for him. He broke down a few times and just couldn't take it anymore, even in the memory. But that's what we agreed to. We would go deep into his memory.
The film is also about a father-son relationship, about a husband and wife relationship. And that's important, too, because sometimes we know the artist through the work, but we also don't know the artist through the personal life in a way that connects us to the work.
Yes, but Sebastian and Lelia, my parents, they've been working since ever. Actually, they left their small village in Brazil to go to a bigger town, and then they moved to Europe, you know, trying to run away from the dictatorship. They decided together that Sebastian was going to move from economy to photography, which was a huge risk, and they've been conceiving all the work and choosing the pictures together. You know, the peculiar thing about Genesis, Sebastian's last project, is that it's not only a new subject, you know, matter. It's also, for Sebastian, the first time that he's actually making photos without having a journalistic problematic, you know, something that he's trying to expose people's way of life or anything like that. He's just trying to share his vision of the world. And I think for Sebastio, it's also the transformation from being a journalist to being a complete artist.
Well, he's now showing us the reasons for hope for the future, whereas in the past he was showing us the reason to despair for the present.
He looked the other way now. Yeah. After being a witness to so much cruelty and suffering, he became the witness of what is still untouched on our planet. And he shows us that half of our planet is still in great shape, which is, of course, a great message.
And the title, The Salt of the Earth?
Well, his photographs were so much about mankind, and he made himself so much part of mankind. And in the vein of his own titles, Genesis and Exodus, this biblical title came to my mind, The Soul of the Earth, which is really people. And when I suggested it to him, he liked it.
Yeah, it's an amazing idea.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Wim Wenders and Juliana Ribeiro Salgado, co-directors and writers. Also, J.R. Salgado did the cinematography for this film, The Salt of the Earth, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Angelica Cinemas.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thank you.